Illuminati, the illumined ones, that has experienced illumination, lumens. It's how they calculate wattage of how many lumens are in a light bulb. Maybe they're part of it too. Illumination is nothing other than coming into your place that you can recognize what your lying eyes can see.
Okay, so that doesn't, you don't have to be a monarch to have that ability.
Many aren't. And most of those titles were bought and sold anyway. At court, you'd buy your Gloucestershire-ship or your Duke and Duchess, you'd buy that. See, that's the title, so that had nothing to do with it. You bought your title, and then that set that place of the bloodline. So that's nothing other than individual humans that figured out smart enough how to get into court and buy themselves a title, and then have their little daughter married the king and have a baby, and then we're off to the races.
If you're illuminated, you then take your power. It can show up in all kinds of different aspects of human existence. Activity, you don't necessarily become a bureaucrat and take over an empire.
Oh, many not. Well, how many of them took over an empire and still got it? Ain't a handful. How'd it work out for them Bonapartes?
Right, right. Not too good right now. So, yeah, James?
Adam Weishaupt, was he the actual founder, or was the Order of Illuminati before him in Bavaria?
Now, see, this is the portion of the show where all the young children listening cover your ears, and this is where we go, push! Not a chance. That is the nothing other than the ones that have issue but not knowing the difference between power and authority. That's the authoritarian rule that would set your all your leading scientists that's getting all up in the rectum of the church. So the church says you can't have your science if it says something different than we say it at our mass. So we're going to smote you and run you underground, and you do your science, and we'll fill our basement at the Vatican with your work. But you're going to be the devil incarnate because you tear people up from them giving their money checks to the church. So we'll fill our basement full of your Galileo and Galilean work, but we'll run you out of town or in a basement somewhere to do this research because you can't undo what we're saying God is. So that's the essence of what you're calling the Illuminati something diametrically against the church or the dogma or the authority of that timing.
So there are people who would be in the monarchies, you know, queens, princes, kings, who are illuminated and use that, and they often come from dynasties or people who got into this power and applied it as a leader or as a tribal emperor way back in history, and it's passed down, so they can use it differently. But the Illuminati can be me or James or anybody who comes into these realizations.
Oh, are you bragging about you being the chair of the Secret Council of Ten, Bob?
No, that came by my birth situation.
Oh, that's right. So that must be a monotheological. Is that a word?
No, it's not a word. It's not a word, buddy.
Well, it is now. Put it in the wiki, and then Noah Webster, the lexicographer, will come up with that attaches you to the bloodline because of your birth. You see, everybody, this is what we're talking about. Because of Bob's birth situation, that's how he became the chairman of the Secret Council of Ten, which is the same thing that we brought this story up, but we didn't even bring it up. We're just engaging with it about how this flows. Well, it makes no difference. Bob can be one enjoying nepotism and not have anything, but because of his birth, it puts him into a escalated position or place of power. Well, if that's the case, see, that's the same thing that we're talking about here. You call it as it is, and the next thing you know, or as Bob says, I made it all up and it came true anyway.
Would it be accurate to say that, because the Illuminati, and everybody's got their problem with it, is basically the Illuminati is, we know and you don't. And since you don't, this is our club and we do, that is what caused
and then you get non-physical. Yeah, James, that's great. And then you get non-physical that'll tell you anything under the sun. Anything under the sun. Anything. Tell you anything you want to know. And you go, well, where's my lover? Where's my car keys? Where's my computer hard drive that I lost? How do I find the portals that I have no intention of going through? When, who, what, where, how, why, rah, 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 did I get myself into this position that I'm in? So, you know, you can't say, you can't kvetch about they know and I don't, so I have to kill them, because you have access to knowing the same way they do, and just because you choose not to engage, that's your position, not their problem. And
they won't notice or care
because they're like you humans. And you just sort of let it be, because you're kind of like going, well, you'll figure it out or not. So it's all well. It's all good and getting gooder.
Here's the interesting story. There was a king of Belgium. He was actually the second king of the Belgians, B-E-L-G-I-A-N-S. His name was Leopold II, and he lived from 1835 to 1909. Now, he turned out to be an archetype or a stereotypical situation for the 20th century. He is chiefly remembered as the founder and sole owner of the Congo Free State, which later became Zaire. Now, I think it has a different name. A private project undertaken by King Leopold II. He used Henry Morton Stanley, a famous journalist of the day, to help him lay claim to the Congo. This area is now known as the Democratic Republic of the Congo, so it's dropped the name Zaire. Anyways, Henry Morton Stanley was the famous traveler who showed up at the home of Dr. Livingston and said, Dr. Livingston, I presume. So what was going on in this private country owned by Leopold II was they discovered that rubber trees were a source for a lot of products that would be used in the 20th century. So the plantations for harnessing, you want to say something, Ian?
Yeah, it was about ivory before it was about the rubber, about the ivory.
So he started to exploit this area, and it became incredibly notorious and well-known through the Telegraph Press that he was chopping off the hands of millions, and millions and millions died. Ion says about 17 million. And this was for the industry that came out of ivory and then the rubber trees. And the rubber trees lead into the IG Farben combine that propped up Nazi Germany. A lot of our 20th century industry comes out of this institution owned by Leopold II. This is the archetype of industry for the 20th century. Industries come in, people are exploited, the workers are exploited, and then journalism makes a big deal out of it, and then maybe heads roll, or not. Now, here's the other part of Leopold II that nobody knows. He had a wife named Marie Henrietta, H-E-N-R-E-T-T-E, Marie Henriette. She married Leopold II on August 22nd, 1853. Okay, I'll just read this little statement from the wiki. It says, Leopold II was too ill to attend his own wedding and sent his brother-in-law, Archduke Charles, to stand in for him. Unfortunately for the sexually naive Marie Henriette, who had gone to her wedding bed armed only with instructions to submit to her husband's wishes, Leopold sufficiently recovered to attend that night, the honeymoon. So it started off in a bizarre situation. Very quickly, Marie Henriette withdrew from her husband. Well, this is how it's reported, and eventually went into seclusion pretty well in a retreat. Well, it turns out that Marie Henriette had another agenda. She was a parallel worlder. She was a part of the Austria-Habsburg dynasty. So she was part of the special knowledge that those monarchies and elites within those realms had for centuries. So she was also a what we call today, or did call in the 70s, a bra burner. She was a feminist. So she, on the surface, went along with her husband, let him do what he wanted in the Congo, but she had another agenda. And her agenda was to bring over technologies from the other world and start an industrial revolution. And somehow she saw that this would liberate human beings from the tyranny of the monarchical feudal systems that were around in her part of Europe. So she had this agenda, and one of the people she was in touch with was the Russian who gave Tesla the key to the Tesla coil, because the Tsar would not allow the Russian scientists invent and apply what he made the breakthrough in. Tesla picked it up from the Russian scientists. But Marie Henrietta was the one who, I don't know the details in the particular, whether she brought it over to the Russian scientists from Parallel World, or she was just part of what was happening and added to with her own inventions. So it turns out that a great deal of the 20th century was sparked by this woman who lived 66 years from 1836 to September 19, 1902. This is an example of the kind of history that Queen Elizabeth II knows. And you might wonder why Queen Elizabeth II appears to be a snob. And besides being a queen of huge territory, they also know a lot about, at least that came out of their world, they know about their relatives, and she knows about Marie Henrietta of Austria.
She was related to the Plantagenets. Why it's so significant in her place, if you'll go trace the line backward with the Queen Mother back beyond Mary, Queen of Scots, all of a sudden some interesting synchronicities will start showing up through that whole process. It's kind of come back full circle, because you remember monarchs would only bed other monarchs. Oh, no, that's not true. They'd sleep with anybody, but they'd only marry other monarchs, you see. And that's how that all kind of works out, keeping that bloodline in play and in order and passing down these nebulous, nefarious secrets that only the inside, isn't that what, when we do the Lindy, what it was all about of how the queen was going to do you in because she knew where all the good power was hidden? Well, that's the falling into this same lineage of story, where you had Leopold, the sickliest monarch of all, who didn't think he'd live long enough to know what's going on. And like I say, so sick he didn't show up for his own wedding. And then he starts jumping into buying this, having this Congo, trying to add more land because he didn't have two nickels to rub together. He was a monarch, but that and $8 would get you a double mocha latte at Starbucks. Oh, yeah, the prices have gone down a little bit. I think they're $4.95, so that's a good day. Well, then he rolls along and he tries to bring people in. No, they wouldn't go to war because it was a constitutional governed area. So he was a king without much power other than the ownership of it. Rolled along with that for a little while until he got himself. He was brought in investors to try to increase his land holdings because with the, if he who had the land had the wealth. Well, they figured out that with he enlisted this the Morton crowd, that's his borrowed middle name of Mr. Stanley, to navigate that the Congo River, and once they got about 20 miles in, they found it was just smooth sailing. And then all of a sudden, they found that it was actually super, super, super value in that Congo River Basin. There were vast resources that now they had access to. And then when they started making them automobiles and horseless carriage and started making up rubber casings for the tars, that's, boy, then that's why the ants can't move the rubber tree plants, because them Congolese was out getting their hands chopped off if they didn't collect enough of the rubber plant. Because they had to go into the European Industrial Revolution because they had to get that rubber so people could have casings for their horseless carriages. And that all happened from the wife, not from Leopold, who was orchestrating, organizing, and working out those every detail. And if you look back far enough and lengthy enough, you'll find it interesting, position of who the wife really was. And then you kind of go, well, holy crap, that syncs up with Tesla and the Russians and that monarchy and how that all connects with everything else. And it was why Leopold came from zero to hero. He was a pretty rough ruler, I guess, if that's what you call it. But at the same time, he got lots of money checks because he married the right woman.
Yeah, are you saying that Marie was the one who came up with the idea of using the ivory and then the rubber trees?
Yes.
So what did she think of the devastation that happened to the local Africans?
She didn't care.
She didn't care.
She was a marvelous human creator. No one can die unless they choose to go.
But she inspired other ideas, other technologies.
Of course. Of course.
And she did think that overall it might be a temporary destruction everywhere, but she thought it would have a liberation effect in the long run.
What's temporary and what's destructive about people that were starving to death anyway got something to do now, so they chose to do that. And if they didn't like it, they could have their own aristocracy if they wanted to. It's no problem.
Right, and three or
cross
four of them.
Cross up some of them King of Zaire's, and they'll put the hank on you, and you won't live long enough to see the morrow. So don't fret. It's all right.
Yeah, and three or four of them didn't get their hands cut off.
Right, at least three or four.
Bob, let me ask this first. Apparently, Leopold was 18 years old. Maria was 17 years old. So who set up this supposedly arranged marriage?
Well, that would be done from the grandparents.
The grandparents on Maria's side, did they know of her abilities to parallel world?
Yes, yes.
Were they parallel worlders?
Yes, yes. That's why they wanted to keep the blood, pure bloods, the blue bloods, together.
Parallel worlding club?
Well, yeah, ascended supper club for saints.
does Prince Philip of England have this ability?
No.
Yeah, because he's the head of what's called the Club of the Isles, which is the networking grouping for the Commonwealth. So I just wondered. So he doesn't. It does say here, Marie Henriette was the sister-in-law of Charlotte of Belgium, future Empress of Mexico, and a cousin by marriage to Victoria of the United Kingdom, and Maria II of Portugal. You're saying that the Austro-Hungarian group was linked in with the British monarchy, the French monarchy, and the Russian or German monarchy?
Yeah. And Prussia. What was in Prussia?
That family and that bloodline and relationship stretching over all of Europe, they all come from the same Plantagenet paraworlding junkies?
We already said yes.
Did it happen before the Plantagenets?
Yes.
You could take it further back.
Oh, absolutely. There is no time.
Would people think of this as the Illuminati, as we say it?
Well, we would say absolutely, but people don't even know what the Illuminati means.
Okay, I became head of the Secret Council of 10 in the late 80s, and I disbanded the Council in 1990, and I let the afterimage of the Android Amin run amok, and then it collapsed, and then I retrieved the Secret Council of 10 recently. But here's with my new mandate. But I just want to say...
We were going to make sure you were going to slip back into it, so when all the nasty things that the Secret Council of 10 did, that would be during the disbanded years, the dark.
Oh, no, I don't mean that. No. I was part of the nefarious, notorious activities, you know, from the late 40s into 99.
Boy, they're all sitting on the edge of their chairs looking at their lucky boxes now, Bob. Now you got them on the run.
Right. Okay, I want to tell a very interesting point, is that I became in this position because of Marie Henrietta. What happened was that my family were butlers for oligarchic families generally around Paris for 300 years, and Charles Dickens even refers to my great-grandfather. But the point is that because she brought in these industries and new technologies, it created the most violent, one of the side effects was the most violent century of the 20th century, with many journalistic stories about massacres as a result of industry all over the world, you know, unfolding through the 20th century. But one of the effects was World War II. What happened in World War I is a lot of the oligarchic families that I was, my parents were serving, the wealth they had, the private ownership of money, was redistributed in the 20s and 30s. So you had the new welfare states under various ideologies. So the intelligence networks that my grandparents weren't part of but observed were shortened, diminished. So by World War II, my father had to be brought in to be part of his employer's diminishing intelligence network, and that led to me being brought in the late 40s, and then that's how I got in. So I got in to being a candidate for the higher levels of Secret Council 10 because of the industrial effects that Marie Henrietta brought in. And so that's an interesting effect. Now, could you say some of the other technologies or industries she was instrumental in starting?
Radio.
In the wireless phase?
Yes.
How did she manage that? What were the components?
They were tubes.
And she brought them over.
The technology that made them stable, yes.
So Marconi, he saw the patent. I think he jumped in by having access to patents. There was a Canadian named Fessenden.
Or was that, wasn't that Carolyn's grandfather?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he was there.
My grandfather was...
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah. That's in Boston, Carolyn.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll let Bob continue to take the hit.
And the Marconi, he gets the credit because he was connected to the networks around Marie.
Well, they didn't care. You got to get in this day. Everybody talks about the rich and powerful. What's wrong with just being rich? What's all this powerful business? Mm. Authority just puts you as the front target. Just get happy about being happy and let money flow free and easily to you. Then you don't have to invent nothing. You don't have to be responsible for nothing. You don't have to clean up nothing. You can enjoy the benefits of all of it. And then if somebody stumps their big toe, then they're not going to be calling you the pre-called authoritarian of the day and then say, well, it's your fault I'm less than because you are rich and powerful and you do things that we couldn't do, so therefore you must die.
So, yeah, including rich and the powerful and rich and the famous. Why be powerful? Why be famous?
Exactly. Infamous is much more fun.
Yeah, but I think it's a powerful force on kids. They do feel the power of having an ID, a role in the chip landscape. That's something maybe the older generations don't understand. It's like, can you be rich and not have a chip body ID or identity or active website?
Many of the ascended ones do.
Do what? They don't
stay out
have
of it.
An identity without a chip interface.
The image that the monarchies of the 19th century and before were against technologies because it changed. That's an image people have of the church. They were against technologies that would alter the power relations of the establishment. It's interesting that one of the most decrepit, you know, dynasties, the Austro-Hungarian, which collapsed after World War I, it began with the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand of Austria-Hungary, that decrepit old regime had someone inside it who created this industrialization with a liberating agenda, and she did it secretly. She did it with the intent of doing this. So here is a new icon for the feminist, neo-feminist pantheon. Everybody wants it. Marie Henriette of Austria. Never heard before this story on any mass medium in the 20th or 21st century. Another exclusive for cash flow.
<All right.
laughs> As the crowd rises with it.
So bad, I feel the failure. Oh, it's the kind of lag you get when you're surrounded by strangers. Not that any of them would want anything from you. It's so sad. There's just there, and that's actually something quite new. Got this lag, and it's so bad. I've got hair up my ass. I've got nothing but gray grass. Nothing but lag and last. Nothing but this lag. Nothing but this love.